council too?
I believe this is our 14th shir in the Sefer Musar Avicha. Today is the 5th of Tammuz, 25th of June, and we're in the summer session.
Yes. With light attendance.
Okay. I have to start with the same disclaimer as in previous weeks. Musar is very deep, and Moser's farm, especially the Achron and the later farm, who are elaborating on what earlier works really meant, can get very deep, and sometimes we can learn the words and try to process it, but getting it fully is really a life's toil, and that certainly can be said of the coming sections in this Sefer, Musar Avicha. At one level, I think what Rav Kook is going to tell us is basic and simple. At another level, it's very, very deep and profound, and even more difficult to really inculcate and live with, which is the ultimate goal. So we are on page Mem Tes.
Excuse me, yeah. Rabbi Carol called me a little while ago.
Yes, thank you. In fact, thank you for reminding me. I have a name here.
Nechama Ilana.
Yes, today's shir. I took this out to remember that. Today's shir should serve as a schus for Refuah Shleimah for Nechama Ilana Bas Marim. And for Carol Sarah Bas Chaim Malka.
Okay, Rabbi.
Okay, yeah.
We also dedicate my mother's yard site this week.
Okay.
Portes Muriel Bat Florence.
Okay, it should be for Ilu Neshama, Portes Muriel Bas Florence. Okay, again, we're on page Mem Tes, section Hey. You can see it there on page Mem Tes. You'll recall that the title of the previous section, if I recall correctly, his son added in the titles. It wasn't in the original Sefer, but the previous section started on page Mem Gimel was called Shleimos HaAvoda Me'ahava L'Ratzon Hashem Bilvad, the completion, the fulfillment of completing, doing Avoda fully properly is from the love of Hashem's will alone, and we elaborated on that. This next section is called Hemshech Shleimos HaAvoda, a continuation on that subject, which relates to b'shevach ha'anava, in praise of humility, u'bahasogas amitas hamatzias v'achaim, in achieving the truth of existence and life. Just to review a little bit from the end of the last section. Last section and this section are really an elaboration on the Mishnah, the third Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Antigonus Ish Socho, who received the tradition from Shimon HaTzadik, he said, do not be like servants who serve the master in order to receive a reward, but be like servants who serve the master not to receive a reward. Al tiyu kavadam shamshim esarav amanas lakabal pras, ela havu kavadam shamshim esarav shalo amanas lakabal pras. To review, in short, Rav Kook asked the question, if the reward we're talking about is perfecting the neshama, it's not some kind of material gain or personal selfish gain, it's perfecting the very entity that Hashem gave you. The Yetzirah is getting distracted and doing other things, but the Yetzer Tov is perfecting your neshama, so what's wrong with serving the master in order to receive that reward? Notice he's working with the assumption that the reward the Mishnah is saying that you shouldn't want is basically the reward that a lot of our lives were probably thinking of, which is perfecting the neshama. And his answer, in short, and he has a great elaboration on this, because it's a lot easier to say the words than to drive it home. And that's he describes it in great detail because he's trying to make us really feel it. But in short, the answer is that the Ratzon Hashem is all-inclusive. What my personal neshama gained from its service of Hashem may be great in my eyes, but it's a tiny dot in the full picture of the Ratzon Hashem. He gave a mashal of a person who saved a whole state from a calamity, and he saved all the people, and then he got $1,000 check as a reward. He's happy about that check and not about the greatness of what he did. There's something wrong with him. He says that's an accurate mashal, or something of a mashal, for a person who is concerned with the perfection of his own neshama. When he's not thinking about the big picture of the Ratzon Hashem, so there's something very lacking. And with that concept, he was answering our contradiction, which happens to be Rabbeinu Bachai in his commentary on Chumash talks about a lot. We have statements of Chazal that sound like everything Hashem does is for His own glory. Kol Paul Hashem L'maneu, everything, and he quotes a number of them on page Mem Ches. Avodat Tzarech Gavoa, there's a deep concept in the Gemara that the Sefer Kabbalah talk about, that the service we do is a need, quote-unquote, of Hashem. On the other hand, we have all these statements that tell us that Hashem needs nothing, and whatever we do doesn't affect Him at all. In Tzadakta Matitein Lo, it says in Eov, if you're righteous to your friend, you help your friend. If you're righteous to Hashem, what have you given Him? You haven't given Him anything. And Olam Chesed Yibona, He built the world only out of Chesed. He needs nothing. It's all kindness. And Rav Kook says, and he's going to elaborate on this later in this, a few pages later, and it really is Kabbalah, and I'm very fearful when we get to that, because I'm not sure I'm going to be able to understand it. But to put it simply, the only greatness that man or any creature can have is its closeness to the will of Hashem. And one of the points he made is, it's not just chokhmah. People often talk about achieving the chokhmah of Hashem. The greatest thing we can have in life is to understand God, to come close and closer to understanding Him. But as he said, understanding without the will, chokhmah without ratzon, is severely lacking. If a person knows what's good but doesn't do what's good, somehow my being is at odds with what I know to be correct. It's a bad thing. So chokhmah has to go hand in hand with the ratzon. So the greatest thing is the wisdom of Hashem. The greatest thing has to therefore be the wisdom of Hashem with the ratzon to pursue that wisdom. Therefore, the all-encompassing good in the universe and beyond the universe and all of existence is the will of Hashem. So any will of my own that I focus on is like focusing on a dot instead of on the big picture, and it should be dwarfed by the big picture. That's basically what he was saying in the last section, and he says that's what it means, don't be serving Hashem in order to be makabel pras, because that's personal, to receive reward. That's my little personal reward, which again may seem big to me, but if I contemplate the big picture, it's tiny. That's, yeah.
Before we go in deeper, I'm having trouble understanding. I thought we're taught that the reason for souls coming down from heaven is for their perfection, and that is the will of God.
But that's part of a bigger picture.
The bigger picture is following the mitzvah.
Well, if I could give a mushal that you have a very sophisticated machine, and it has gears and it has parts, and so one of the gears wasn't working right, so you sent it back to the watchmaker for its tikkun. It came back to the world to be perfected, but the goal is the bigger machine. Now that gear is working right, so give that gear yasher koach, but the bigger picture is that now it's part of a greater whole. So if a neshama comes back, certainly you're right. So much of what we do is my individual obligation, my individual tikkun. Says Rav Kook, what that Mishnah is saying, though, and many sources in Kabbalah are saying, is you're not really supposed to view it in that type of narrow way. We're supposed to try to view it in the much larger. So true, we have to fix ourselves. What can I fix but myself? But with the ultimate goal of how that plays into the larger picture of Ratzon Hashem.
Anyway, my rabbi at the Carmel gave me a mashal at the very beginning about an orchestra, and that each person plays an instrument, but the goal was not your part necessarily. The goal was the whole symphony.
Right. It's a very apt mashal. And any mashal we give is really lopsided, because it's greater than that. We can't begin to even process Hashem's greatness, but therefore His will. But things that look big to us are really tiny. A person has to have a very open mind and strong mind to even try to picture this in any sort of way, but it's very important. So let's continue now on page Memtes. So based on all of that, he says, V'hine mechlal hadvarim ha'ele. What emerges from the general gist of these things, from all of this, anu lameidim, we learn shivcha shel midas ha'anava, the praiseworthiness of the trait of humility, ve'ech hi tachlis kol hatov ha'amiti, and how it is the ultimate in all true good. It's the ultimate good. Ki kol ma'achei habriya, because all of the systems of what's been created, v'hamitzias, and existence, bechlal, existence in general, See there, Hashem Yisbarach, Hashem set up al pi ha'ofen, based on the system, the way shenemale ritzono, that we should fulfill His will, v'hanhago seinu, in our conduct al pi chukav ha'amitim, based on His true statutes, shehem chayel. Okay, Hashem set up the whole world that we should do His will based on His mitzvos. V'tam zehadavar, and the reason for this, shesider oshreinu v'milu ritzono, that He set up our good fortune by fulfilling His will. Kidei shiagienu hashleimus hayoser nichbad v'niska v'kadosh, so that we should achieve the greatest shleimus, the greatest completion that is most honorable and most lofty and most holy. Shekol chafatzav lo yishvu bo. That's a paraphrase of a pasuk in Mishlei. Yikarehi mipninim, it is dearer than pearls. V'chol chafatzecha lo yishvu bo, and all of your pursuits, all of your desires don't equal to it. So he's using that phrase that all of one's desires can't equal it. The fulfilling Hashem's will so dwarfs anything else, any side or minor goal is so dwarfed by that greater goal. Shehu asiyas nachas ruach lefanagus baruch, which is, this is the terminology we use because we don't have true accurate terminology, but our sages constantly use the terminology, making a nachas ruach before Hashem. Nachas is pleasantness, being pleased, nachas ruach, a pleasantness of spirit before Hashem. It's not a literal term, but fulfilling His will, which we are taught at some level, He wants His will to be fulfilled. V'hine, kol zman, it stands for kol zman, sheha'odam medame ba'atzmo. So long as man imagines, in Hebrew, dimyon is imagination or delusion, So long as a person deludes himself, imagines, shemitzad atzmo yesh bo chashivus, that from the perspective of him himself, he has importance. Yesh lo ezo hamshacha shal koponim yase atov shu atov ramitzis bishvil shiagia lo tov. And therefore, he has some yearning that he's going to do what's good. He's going to do Torah and mitzvos. We're not talking about somebody who's doing bad. Okay, this is all at a very high level. We're talking about a person who's doing Torah and mitzvos. But he's doing it because it's going to bring good to him. There's an end goal in me, and what's good for me alone. Again, not in a selfish way, not in a material way. And we're talking about in a way where a person will perform Torah and mitzvahs and have midos. But if in his mind the ultimate goal is my independent existence, ve'eino yachol kol kach lahavim. This is very deep, and I think even if one doesn't achieve this level, one may have very well achieved high levels in the service of Hashem, but the Torah teaches us to try for everything, and this Mishnah is also important, and this concept is important. I just mentioned that because sometimes sometimes people get discouraged when we're told, like, well, if you're just doing this, it's no good. Really? But at a certain level, it's true. You'll notice, by the way, in that Mishnah, he doesn't say, people who serve Hashem and ask the Kabbal Pras, better they wouldn't have existed. He doesn't use strong language. He just says, don't. Don't serve Hashem. It's compared to other statements of Chazal, it's not so strong, probably because it's shooting very high. But if a person is ve'ena yachol kol kach lahavin, he's not so much able to understand, shekeven sheyesh bazeh hadavar milui ritzon habore, that since there is in this thing, this mitzvah, this whatever it is that he's doing, the fulfillment of Hashem's will, nimtza, it thus turns out, shezen niska v'nichbad v'yakar, it is loftier and more honorable and dearer, mikol yakar, dearer than dear, v'ilu shebo'olamos kolam, and higher than any elevation in all of the worlds, all of the realms, la'in keitz v'tachlis, infinitely so, v'im kein, and if so, ein mokom b'sechel, there's no place in the mind. If my mind could really grasp the concept that this is infinitely great, then where would some finite, tiny thing be next to infinite greatness? Uprisus gadol, and it's a great lowliness, a great lacking, who sheyinerach tov hamagia lo mitzad atzmo, that the good that comes to him himself should have any value. It's a lot easier to say those words than to feel that, but what he's saying is, if a person really understands what Ratzon Hashem is, and then he understands that his will is just one little detail, his being is one little detail in all of that, mm-hmm. Even the perfection of himself and all that brings, and the schar that brings, would just be dwarfed and negated compared to the big picture. Again, easier to say than to really feel. Aval kishayavin hadam, but when man does understand, shekol ilui, that any elevation, sheyachal lachshav al atzmo, that he is able to think about with regard to himself, ein ze b'chok atzmo klal. This it really is not in the laws of himself at all. It really has nothing to do with himself. Shegam ilui hamatzius hayoser shofel. Because even the elevation of existence, even the lowest thing, rak miyad habarius barachu lo. Anything that has any level, it's just because Hashem elevated it. Nothing else exists. If Hashem made an earthworm, he took nothingness and made it into a creature that has all the science of an earthworm. If he made the dust, if he made an animal, if he made a human being, whatever level a person has, simply because Hashem raised it up. But otherwise, nothing exists.
Can I just ask a question? I'm sorry. I don't know where exactly it fits in. But isn't the byproduct of... Can't we be happy in the byproduct of perfecting our neshamas?
No.
Well, that just blew my whole existence.
That's why I warned before, this is, it's a high level, and I think those chachamim who tapped into the Sisrei Torah, the hidden parts of Torah, more felt this more, and he's trying to give that over to us. A lot of Kabbalah talks about this. In observing the revealed part of the Torah and Halacha, a person is really supposed to think, what am I supposed to do? And how am I supposed to act? And that's fine. What he's saying is, but when you have a mission that says, but that shouldn't be your goal, and then we ask the question, so what? You're asking the question that he asked 2 pages ago. Like, what's wrong with that? I'm supposed to have good midas. I'm supposed to have good. So that's all good. And then... But what he's trying to present us is the overwhelming goodness of fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem is so great that it dwarfs anything else. Again, like his mashal, you saved a whole state, men, women, and children, innocent people who were surely going to die, and you alone figured out what was going to happen, and you saved them from it, and then they send you $100 check in the mail. It just doesn't register.
Not that you should be thrilled that you get the $100 check in the mail, but then you think, well, that was so nice of them.
Okay. Well, you could say it's nice of Hashem to include my existence in... but, yeah, but he's a person who really processes the depths of what the Torah is teaching us here just feels so overwhelmingly part of the greater Ratzon Hashem, which he's going to elaborate on now, that it's just nothing else can register. It was nice of them, but that's part of a bigger picture. It's again, it's easier to say it than to. And this is an avoda, and it's something I think many other sources that you'll see in other matters in Agoda and Musa that you'll learn, I think, will help develop this. I don't think it's the type of lima that in 1 second says, "Oh yeah, the greater Ratzon Hashem, no problem." I think it's something we have to work on. He says, and he's helping us here work on it somewhat. He says that when a person recognizes that any existence of any creature, even if it's a lowly creature, that's only from Hashem's goodness that it has anything. V'shifo hakodosh hu shemenaso, and it's his holy aura that elevates it. Kamosha kosev anavosko sarbeini. That's a pasuk in Tehillim in the Shira that David HaMelech said in chapter Yud Ches in Tehillim, as you see in the footnote. And it's a big idea in the Midrashim. They elaborate on that phrase, and I think he's going to talk about it later also. In your humility, Hashem, you increased me. The Sfarim say that any being that has any greatness to it, any ribui, it's really nothing. Hashem made it greater than it is. It's all out of Hashem's humility. He needs nothing. He, in his great humility, raised us up. So anything, any meaning that we have is only because he was marba'as, he made us greater. Im kein hakol shelo yisbarach, so it's all his, turning the page. Umitzad atzmo eino klum, and man from the perspective of himself is nothing. Okay, so I hope you're all happy with that, we're all nothing. So he knew you would be bothered by that. Look at the next words. V'kevin she'ein ha'odom yochol l'tzayir ba'atzmo kemat inyin ha'efes ha'gomor. Since man on his own is unable, kemat on him, almost unable to envision the concept of absolute nothingness. I'm nothing. A person can't really say the words, but you can't really think I'm nothing. Umikol shekein, how much more so, sheyikne lo kinyan benafsho yidei zeyatzir. And how much more so that he should be able to acquire something in his existence, in the way he thinks, in the way he feels, based on nothing. It's just not a functional, I think what he's addressing is that we have this problem, we feel our existence, and it's very big to us. In fact, it's our whole world is our existence, and now you're telling me, but I should basically feel that I'm nothing compared to the greater Ratzon Hashem. It's very hard for a being who is supposed to be to feel something based on telling him that he's nothing. To tell him that he's literally nothing, that should work and make a person functional and grow, it's not likely. Ach al kolpanim, so he's going to present a way to, even if we can't quite do that, but how we can think about it in a way that will be beneficial to us. I have to be honest, I'm not sure exactly how this works, but I will say it to you. Ach al kolpanim roi la'odim l'tzayir batzma, but at any rate, it's appropriate for man to picture to himself, to understand the following, Shekol ha-ro'os hein rak heder ha-tov, that all bad is really just the lack of good. Kemo shekosav ha-rambam zalber mor nevuchim. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates only good. Anything that he truly created is only good. What do you mean Hashem made whatever is bad in the world too? Bad is the lack of good. Hashem made a world that's good. He also made a world where you have to have the challenge to earn good and bring out good. So he also made voids of good.
Lack of good is also lack of Hashem, lack of God. Well, I mean, you could say badness is just lack of God.
Okay, I mean, it's semantic. There is no lack of God, but it's lack of recognition of Hashem. It's a deep idea in the Mor Nevuchim. If you think the Rav Kook is deep, try Mor Nevuchim. But the Rambam explains the pasuk in Yeshaya that our Berachos Kriyas Shema is based on Yotzer Ora Vorechoshech Osa Shalom Uvore. Now, the pasuk says Uvore is Hara. We say Uvore is Hakol, and Donovan will say Ra. But the pasuk says Uvore is, or the Rambam is explaining why it doesn't say Osa Ra, it says Vore Ra. He says it's like if there's a beam holding up the roof and you pull the beam away, so the roof fell down, so you say that person knocked the roof down, but all he really did was take away the good beam that was holding it up. So sometimes we say that somebody did something bad or created something bad, when really all they did was they took away the good.
But it still exists. But the beam still exists,
right.
Just in the wrong place.
Right, so he's saying that's the usage. When Hashem makes bad, Hashem really only made good, but he made the potential for good not to be there. So in certain instances, he devoids it of good. He takes something, he creates something without that good. It's a very deep philosophical point, but the point is Hashem made only good, but he also made places where the good isn't shining yet. And the goal of Tikkun Olam and bringing Mashiach is bringing the good and then the Chochmah to the whole world. So he says, we should think about it that way, that bad is really just the lack of good. And that's a worthy in its own right, but I think what Rav Kook is saying is, think about that with regard to ourselves. So any existent thing, meaning any creature, any created thing, you can picture how lowly and unimportant it is, if it's something of great lackings. Yes, we are very lacking. So if the Rambam makes an equation that what we call bad is really just lacking, so if we're lacking, we're pretty bad. I think that's his point. Bevadai roi shezeh hashiflus yeh lo mitzad shehaya legamri bachlal heder lule shefa haboris barachasta. I would be entirely lacking except that Hashem poured his aura upon me and gave me certain positives. So every creature, Hashem elevated it from nothing, from entirely heder, from non-existence, non-good, non-strong, non-power, non-chochma, whatever it has, Hashem lifted it up. and bad and lacking are really the same thing. So if not for Hashem's shefa, his bracha, we would all be nothing. V'im kein, if so, but mishkal tzedek v'emes, in the scale of judging things based on truth and righteousness, einu nechshav klal shum davar ki im habarius barach. Nothing is worth anything but the Creator. Because everything else really would be lacking except the Creator gave it some existence. V'chol ha-chashivus sheyesh b'chol ha-metzius heim mikrim medumim. And all importance that there is in all of existence is imagined incident. What he means is it's not inherently so. Hashem is inherently God. The rest of us, he just made us though. He didn't have to. He made me have existence. V'shaychusam rak lo yisale. And their significance is only to him. Because of Hashem, I have importance. Whatever importance I have. Because he gave it to me. But the only true thing that has any real inherent importance, and you could almost use the word importance, goodness, power, greatness, the only thing that exists really is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else is because Hashem gave it. He imbued it with some life, some importance. V'kasher yisbara zeh heitiv. And when this becomes very clear, la'adam, to man, lo yala bilvavo shum tshuka klal, there will not come up in his heart any yearning at all, ki im milui ratzon kono, but the wanting to fill the will of his master, vasiyas nachas ruach lefanov. And again, that term, giving Hashem nachas, if we can use such a term. V'zeu shamru chazal ba'avos de Rabbi Nassan, back of the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Pirkei Avos, and Avos de Rabbi Nassan is a much more elaborated Pirkei Avos. It has some of the same teachings, but with much, much more. So in Avos de Rabbi Nassan, it says, Al Moshe Rabbeinu ba'anavasa, it says about Moshe Rabbeinu in his humility, Sheshlosha mukesh chinheim. Mukesh chin is somebody who's stricken with boils. It usually means somebody whose lot in life is very unbecoming and lowly, and it caused the person to be very humble. But he said, Daito shel Moshe nemucha mikulan. Moshe's mindset was lower than all of them. Moshe was more humble than a person who would have the most humbling circumstances. Okay, without getting into the specifics why Chazal phrased it that way, mukesh chin, but the point is, take the person in the most humble circumstances who would have no pride. Moshe was lower than all of them in his humility. V'hainu shekol kama shemizbarer etzel adam eich she'eino nechshav mitzad atzmo. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu the humblest of men? Which is a pasuk in the Chumash. That was Rav Nassan is just elaborating on that. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu the most humble? Because the more it is made clear to a person how he himself has no importance, v'chol ha'chashivus ha'niris bo, and whatever importance appears in him, who rak mitzad abar yisbarach, is only from the Creator. V'hu yis'al, v'hu ha'shalem built betachlis ha'nechbet v'anara, and he is the one, meaning Hashem, is the one who is complete in the ultimate honor and awesomeness. Yavchin shehu chutz mishuras ha'seichel. So then he'll discern that it's outside of simple, straight logic, v'hayosher, and what is correct, sheyepone b'shtadluso b'avur hatov ha'magia lo mitzad shehu magia lo. The more a person understands that and inculcates that within his being, the more he says it makes no sense to want to be doing anything for my own importance, for what comes to me. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who grasped this better than anyone else, any other human being, was also the most humble, naturally. Because anava is a function of recognizing that the only importance is the will of Hashem. So who understood that more than anyone else? Moshe Rabbeinu. He understood better, therefore he was more humble. If I know it brings nachas to Hashem, so how can I focus on the fact that it's also good for little me? It just doesn't register. Because all of the goals and the desires, that it's appropriate, and it must be so that they would be nullified when compared to the great goal, v'hakadosh, and the holy goal, hazeh, she'ein arochilav, that nothing else can be evaluated compared to it. V'chol ma she'yeda zeh ha'emes yoser, and all the more that a person will know this truth, yagia yoser l'shleimus haratzon, he will achieve more
shleimus in the realm of ratzon, of will, sheyir ratzono mamash keratzon kono, that his will should be literally like the will of his master, of Hashem. V'zehu chaye ha'emes. And this is true life. Kimosha kosev, as it says in Mishle, this is a pasuk. Kimotzi motza chayim vayofek ratzon mehashem. Because those who find me find life, and they have brought out will of Hashem. It says Rav Kook, Diek shafokos harotzon mehashem zehu achayim. The pasuk was very exacting in its terminology, that bringing out the will of Hashem, that is life. The more a person connects to the absolute will of Hashem, that is true eternal life. Is that sufficiently simple? It's at one level, yes, but at one level, very deep. In a word, the will of Hashem is overarching great goodness, and the more a person understands that, the more he can't focus on what good happens to him as an independent being, but rather only the will of Hashem. So now Rav Kook says, now we have to get deep. Ulameven, in this sefer, there's some things that I think we can understand and relate to it readily, and some things that just require a lot of contemplation and work. I mean, some of the ideas we had that I think a person could relate, just to review for a minute, that are readily applicable. He said, "Bechol drachecha da'ehu, in all of your ways, know Hashem," means in whatever way you're serving Hashem now, that's the entirety of it. When you're doing chesed, don't think about tefillah. When you're davening, don't think about chesed. So he had this very beautiful idea about that makom kavua for tefillah is not just a physical halacha, but it's because in Torah, a person is always growing and reaching different madregos. But tefillah is supposed to be, you revisit the same place. It's like your private relationship with Hashem. So it's called makom. It's a set place. Some ideas, they're deep, but they're you can say them over and work on them. This is a life's avoda. Ultimately, it's that Mishnah. So let's take it a little bit further. Ulameivin umaskil al derech emes. And for one who really understands in the way of truth, which often is a code word for Kabbalah, yomar mizeh, he will say from this, Sha'achrei she'anu roim, top of Nun Aleph, once we see, she'klal ha'metzius sholem, that the entirety of existence is complete, v'holech el derech ha'shleimus bechlal, and it's going to general completion. We know it from the Torah, but he's going to say soon the philosophers recognize it just from looking at the universe. This is a system. It's all working together. Where there are weaknesses or glitches, it's working to overcome that and to reach total shleimus and completion. As our prophets foretold to us, that the day will come when the whole world will be full of knowledge of Hashem. That's from the Navi Yeshaya. It's the Haftarah we read on the last day of Pesach. And they will all know me from the little to the big, also from another Yirmiya. V'gam ha'filosofim misichlam hevinu sha'asidim yamim lavo. And even the philosophers, from their sechel, even without having nevuah, understood the general idea that days will come, sheyu kol ha'anashim ponim rak li'idiyas Hashem Yisbarach, when all men will turn to the knowledge of Hashem. V'hu mipnei teva ha'shleim u'shematu. And they figured that out based on the nature of completion that they saw. I guess they looked at the world and said it has to be going toward a redemption, toward a Mashiach. Again, some didn't reach that conclusion. He's saying those who intuited or figured out the truth see that even without having read the words of the Nevi'im. We talk about this in the world at large, and there are many people who just on their own seichel know that the world must be heading toward a fixing of what's that which is wrong and an achieving of completion. There are people who didn't have the benefit of learning Torah, but understand they understand it has to be a messianic notion. V'anu yodim zeh yoser mevura muchosh, and we know this much more in a much more clarified and palpable way, it means based on the Torah. V'kevan sh'akol holoch u'masala, since everything is going and getting elevated, v'acharis hazman ein lo kitzva v'tachlis, and the end of time has no limit, it just continues. Muchrach lomer, you have to say, she'inyan ha'shleimus kachu be'ein sof v'tachlis. The concept of completion, again, we use the word shleimus for completion, but what we mean is achieving greater and greater completion. It also is limitless. V'hu yediyas shmo yisbarach, and that is the knowing Hashem's name, coming closer to understanding Hashem. V'kevin she'anu masigim she'ein hashleimus chola al inyan hachachma levada kiyam al hachachma v'aratzon. So now he reviews. Once we understand that the full, the greatest level is not just understanding Hashem, that's chachma. Chachma has to be in tandem with ratzon. If I just understand, but my will is not there, like he said before, that famous Gemara from Rava. Rava said to his Talmidim, please don't be the people who get Gehenim twice, which means that in this world they deny themselves pleasure in order to study Torah, but they don't live up to the Torah, so therefore they're not rewarded for it. So you gave up this world, and you give up the next world. That's what happens when the Ratzon is not synchronized with the Chachma. So we always talk in the Svarim of it, Chachma, knowing Hashem, Deya is Hashem, but he says, Rav Kook, let's just clarify, knowing Hashem means and aligning your will with that. So Chachma and Ratzon have to go hand in hand. But Ratzon HaShalim Hu HaIkar, and complete will, that is the ultimate goal. Im Kein Roi, it is appropriate, if so. Shekashem Shemalas HaChachma Nechon Aliyah Shlema Arin Ketz V'Tachlis, just like the level of Chachma is infinite, it will keep getting greater. Kain roy shatiyah malus shlemus haratzon be'in keitz v'tachlis. Similarly, will is infinite. Hashem's chachma is infinite, so the ratzon is infinite. Yeah. Ve'in shlemus l'ratzon kiyam sh'yinota rak l'ratzon habar yisbach. Completion of will, of man's will, is that it should be aligned with the will of Hashem. Shekamosh ein shlemus l'chachmaso shall kol nivra kiyam itzach chachmas yisbarach. Just like, what chachma do we have? The chachma of Hashem. What's true chachma? Knowledge of Hashem. Kain ein shlemus l'ratzon kiyam itzach ratzon yisbarach. Similarly, there's no completion of the will, but when it's Hashem's will. Man's greatest chachma is the chachma of Hashem. Man's greatest ratzon, the apex, the high point of his ratzon, is when his will is aligned with the will of Hashem. Yeah. So now he shows, therefore, why heretical beliefs, therefore, can't really believe in the world coming to its completion. If, God forbid, existence had to be, bechiv means it had to be so. There are all kinds of philosophies out there. There were those who said, there has to be existence. There has to be a universe, a world. There are people who would even say, well, I believe in God, but I believe that the world had to exist. Our belief is, no, there's only one thing that's what we call mechuyev hamatzias, had to exist. That's Echad, that's Hashem Echad. Everything else, he willed it to exist, so he made it exist, but it didn't have to. The only thing that must exist is Hashem. But if it would be true, God forbid, that existence had to be, ketaos ketzasa philosophim, as some philosophers believe, that they looked at the universe and it felt so real and so permanent. They said, this must be. If that would be true, lahaya makum l'shleimus haratzon klal, then there never would be a completion of will. If there's something that can exist outside of Hashem's will, God forbid, so that means it's not a function of the will of Hashem. That means its fullest completion is not aligning itself with the will of Hashem. You know, if you have Hashem and he has a Ratzon and everything that exists is a subcategory of that and everything seeks to reach the highest levels of what it was created by, so which is what we believe, so all of existence will ultimately align itself with the will of Hashem and reach the highest levels in that. But if, God forbid, here's Hashem and here's existence and somehow existed outside of Hashem's will, then its fullest completion is not Hashem's will. So where's it going? Where is it heading exactly? And again, I hope that's sufficiently simple. Just as there has to be completion in Chachma, ultimately the world has to have Chachma, recognition of Hashem, so too there has to be completion of the will. The Shichlul Hachayim Hashlemim, for setting up properly the real proper life. Im kein, if so, k'shem shechachmaso yisparach hamusegas lanu himekar chayenu. If so, just as his chachma, the chachma that we understand, is the source of our life, b'inyan hachachma, Kain hu ritzonu makar hachayim b'inyan haratzon. His chachma is the source of life with regard to chachma. His will is the source of life with regard to will. This gives a different perspective on why my sole concern should be for Hashem's will, not my own independent existence. This gives an overwhelming feeling of the importance of Hashem's will and how we're just dots in that bigger picture.
Could you repeat what you just said again? I'm sorry. We're going back maybe about one line.
Now you're asking a hard question. In short, I think, if I'm understanding probably again, this needs a lot of work, but I believe what he's saying is we always talk about how the world has to reach Chachma of Hashem. Right now the world is devoid of Chachma Hashem, and there's evil, and there's evil philosophy, and so on. The world will come to recognition of truth, and deep recognition of the truth of Hashem, but it's not enough to recognize it and understand it. If I know something, but I still don't want to fulfill it, which man has the potential for that contradiction, then he hasn't gotten anywhere. So when we talk about Deyos Hashem, the knowledge of Hashem, we mean knowing it and living up to it. And Hashem's will is infinite, just as his wisdom is infinite. These are hard terms for us to wrap our minds around because we don't understand infinity. But if Hashem's wisdom is infinite, so the will of Hashem is also infinite. And if the climax, the culmination of the world is to align itself with the will of Hashem, the world will just, when it reaches that time of Mashiach, it'll just increasingly get greater and greater and coming closer and closer to the will of Hashem. That, I believe, is what he's saying. V'chein ha-kofrim ha-omrim metzius chomer kodom yesh. And similarly, those deniers who say that there was some material that always existed. That's the belief of Olam Kadmon, that there always was some world that he always did exist. Yesh le-devreim l'chol nimtza shleimus atzmus gamkein. He says, think about that. We believe only Hashem existed. He willed the world. He created the world. So nothing existed outside of and before him. But those who would have a belief system that, no, they believe in God somehow, which is problematic, how you believe in a God who's not the master of everything, but they believe in God, but they believe that there's some material that existed anyway, outside of Hashem. That material is not a function of Hashem's will, so that material reaches its highest completion without reaching Hashem's will. So again, it doesn't get anywhere. It's impossible that it will reach this level of completion, which is just the Ratzon of Hashem. Seichel doesn't indicate that the climax of this world is the will of Hashem if the world existed outside of the will of Hashem and before the will of Hashem. What he's basically saying is if you believe that, then you could believe that man should do things for his own good because he has independent existence. If something has its own independent existence, so its ultimate good can be independent. But if we believe, as we do, that we don't have independent existence, our existence is only a function of the will of Hashem, then the only true good we can reach is the will of Hashem. According to them, the world's not going anywhere. It's not anywhere good. Aval amitas hadvarim meirim eini hasechel. The truth of these matters illuminate the eyes of the sechel. Kafi derech haTorah haNe'emana, per the ways of the true Torah. She'ein metzius klal l'shum nimtza zulasa yisbarach. That there is no existence to any existent thing, but from Hashem. V'imkain, and if so, ein roi klal l'fi hasechel ba'akumim beis. It is not appropriate at all. In logic, he's saying, even in logic, Shayya Ratzon Acher Ki Im Ratzon, that there should be any other will but his will. And when these matters will be clear to all created, to all people, to all existence, Kishayyavo Zman Hashlamus, when the time of completion will come, Oz Lo Yiyah V'chol HaMetzias, then there will not be an all of existence, Ki Im Ratzon Yisbarach, but his will, V'hakol Yiyu Dveikim B'Ratzono, and all will cling to his will, Umasigim Kvodon, and will grasp his glory, I don't know how fully, but V'yiyah Tachlis HaShlemus, and that will be the goal, the ultimate
again, we use the word shlemus. In English, you'd say completion, but we don't mean completion because it's a moving target. A person is very shalem and moving toward shlemus, so development toward completion is probably a better translation than completion. So, yeah.
Can I just maybe use the same thing with the symphony? It's like you're supposed to play the instrument well, but you're supposed to get to the point where you disappear and the instrument just plays and the symphony is playing and you are like one of part of the symphony. I know it sounds creepy, but I mean, that's kind of like it, more or less.
Well, every mashal ultimately breaks down. Yeah, if we could somehow explain why the music that emerges from that symphony is all important,
right,
then the individual violin player is not. Just hard. Any mashal ultimately at a certain level.
That doesn't mean you can go on without that violin player. Even if he's insignificant to the total, we're still back to the nothingness before. It doesn't make... You can't throw up your hands and say, well, I'm nothing. It doesn't...
Right, no,
it's
the contrary.
You have to be part of the...
Right. Yeah, each the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the master of the forest, is the master of the trees, and they didn't make any extra ones. So every person has his role. It's of infinite importance that he play his individual role, but not ultimately for his individual self, but for the greater good. And the Chochmas HaKabbalah is full of this concept of seeing things in the larger sense, but you're 100% right that... you know, it's the same thing that happened when I've written about during the space age, when man recognized how vast the universe is.
Yes.
So some people's reaction was, okay, so nothing I do matters.
Right. I'm so small.
But we're supposed to come to the exact opposite conclusion. I matter, even though it's so big? Wow, I must be inspired to do my little role so much more so. But to have it fit. But my role ultimately is so important because of the greater good that it affects, not because of my individual self. Hashem does give us individual existence, but in a bigger perspective, it's part of something bigger. So then just the next paragraph. Im kein, yesod habriyo shleimusa tali b'shleimus ha'anava. So this is a much deeper understanding of humility. We think humility is, well, when you see your friend, you shouldn't be haughty. Humility is like the ultimate mida. He's going to elaborate even more. But the foundation of all of creation and its achieving completion is dependent on the development of another humility. V'amru Chazal b'medrash rava al pasuk b'reishis bara elokim, and Chazal said on the first pasuk in the Torah, Hadahu d'chsiv. Now this is that same pasuk in Tehillim that he quoted, that we quoted at the beginning today. V'anavoscha sarbeini, your humility made me great. David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your humility was marimi, made me great. The Medrash, elaborating on that, says, b'noeg shaba'olam, the way it is in the world, meaning in our world, melech basav adam, with a human king, mazkir shmo, v'achakach mazkir ma'asav. He mentions his name, and then what he did. King so-and-so the fourth made this palace. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say Elohim bara Bereshis. It says Bereshis bara Elohim. He puts what he made before himself. And by the way, Hashem even created Bereshis. The deep Sifrei Emunah talk about that Hashem created the potential for there to be a world. So you, in the beginning, that's already a creation. But Hashem mentions Ma'aseh Bereishis was made by God. It doesn't say God made Ma'aseh Bereishis. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu hizkir ma'asa v'achar kach hizkir shmo. But Hashem mentions his creations, his actions, and then mentions his name. So Chazal in their wisdom chose to point this out, that at the beginning of the Torah, Hashem exercises humility. What does it mean? Says Rav Kook, Shemitzad shehanova hi yesod kol hashleimus. Everything that Hashem shows us of Himself is really to teach us. It's not a description of Him. He's unknowable. All this from Torah. It's all. What's the Medrash there for? It's to describe Hashem. It's Hashem's one of these websites. You know, my page. God forbid. It's for us to learn from. So if Hashem right away at the beginning of creation sends us a message about humility, right away in Ma'aseh Bereishis,
says Rav Kook, Shemitzad she'anavu hu yisod kol hashemes, because humility is the source of all approaching completion, all development. Shel tachlis abriya, of the point of all of creation. Romza hu yis'ala befesach divrei Torah HaKadosh. Therefore Hashem hinted at it at the opening, at the door of the Torah. Basically, Hashem creates a world and he puts man in the world, and the world is for man. And he says, listen here, I'm giving you your own existence and I'm giving you an neshama. But I want you to understand that you're part of my ratzon, and that's what's good for you. And man, because of his tendencies, can fool himself. And we tend to feel like we have an independent existence, so he can be making an error and think he has independent importance. He can do that in a very bad way, where it's material and it's arrogant, but even in a way of ruchnius. But if he doesn't understand, if he thinks, I have my own importance, there can be an arrogance there. There's a haughtiness. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I start the Torah with humility. To tell us, humility is the source of it all. Anava, that I'm just part of a greater whole. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest chacha, the greatest Navi, is the most humble of men, because he understands more deeply and more fully than anyone else that he's just part of something greater. All there is Ratzon Hashem. Yeah. All right, so should we stop here? This is very humbling, because this thing can do all kinds of things. It cannot get the time right. So I don't know exactly. It's probably not quite 10:30 yet, is it?
10:25.
All right, so should we go drop more?
Yeah, sure.
Right, it's light stuff, it's light reading. Might as well go. Okay. I set it back, and it's 5 minutes ahead. It can send the message around the world to 60 different people, 60 different countries, but it cannot tell time. Go figure. Anyway.
It's hooking up to the wrong man.
Yeah, I don't know. Ulufiza yesh lanu shnei inyanim ba'anava. Based on all this, there's two concepts in humility.
This is a very deep insight. I'll paraphrase it. You can see it, toward the end of this paragraph, he has a quote from Chazal. It's a Yerushalmi, it's a Medrash. It's four lines from the end of this paragraph. Chazal say, Masha osasa chochma atara l'rosha osasa anova ekev l'silyasa. What chochma made as a crown for its head, humility made as a heel for its sandal. What chochma made as a crown for its head, so what chachma wears as a crown, humility puts my Crocs. Okay, so Chazal must have meant something very deep by that. And by the way, that's based on Psukim. Reishis chachma yiras Hashem, ekev anova yiras Hashem. So Reishis, the rosh of chachma, is the akiv, is the heel of anava. So what chachma has is the crowning jewel for anava. Kinderspiel, that's nothing. So everything Chazal tells us has a very deep meaning. Obviously, somehow it's saying that anava is much higher than chachma. That's what some of the Mishnah Sharm quotes this in his section on anava, and other Sharm talk about it. So Rav Kook is going to elaborate, because anava is the source of it all. I'll just read the paragraph. Ulefize yesh lanu shnei inyanim ba'anava, the two concepts in anava. Ha'echad mitzad hakaras rama musa yisbarach. One is from the perspective he recognizes the loftiness of Hashem. Lo yechashev etzla ritzano klal neged ritzan konach. So really, Hashem is so great and I'm so little, so my will next to his will is nothing. Okay? V'habeis, in the second, mitzad havchanasa hashleima, from his discerning, from his understanding, shemibil odo yisbarach ein mitzias klal. It's not just, well, if Hashem wants something and I want something, so who am I? That's one level. But he said it's a deeper level, that there's no existence outside of him. Lo yia b'mitzias shum rotzon etz lazulas ritzon yisbarach. Basically, he recognizes that the ultimate greatness that dwarfs anything else is the will of Hashem. How could I have a rotzon? So that humbles him. V'nimtza sheyira hi mitzad chachma. I think I understand this. Or fear of Hashem comes from chachma. You look at the world, you see chachma of Hashem. We're in awe. We're in fear of Hashem.
The anova mitzad ratzon. Humility comes from will, from the recognition that nothing else is great but his will. So I'm nothing. I'm humbled because I understand the greatness of his will. The ratzon hu yoser niskav b'inyano mechachma. So again, if you'd make a chart here, yira comes from chachma, and anova comes from ratzon. So one comes from chachma, one comes from ratzon. What's greater, chachma or ratzon? So we said ratzon is greater. Shachachma hi kli tashmish sharatzon hashalom isgal yadav. Chachma is a tool that ratzon comes from it. Basically, you have to know the will of Hashem, and then you do it. But the goal is the doing, is the wanting the same thing Hashem wants. Im kein ma godol erech hamargolis hatova shebefi chazal. If so, how great is this jewel in the mouth of Chazal? Now we understand what Chazal meant. Masha asasa chachma tara larosha asasa anava ekev l'siliyasa. What chachma made as a crown for its head, anava made as a heel for its sandal. Ki mitzad chachma ushleimus ein hakara l'shleimus amiti. From trying to achieve shleimus through chachma, you don't get to the true shleimus, shu yisod ha-Torah, Elamitzad Ritzon Hatov, Shuva Chaim Hamitiyim, but from the good will. It's not just Chachma, it's Ratzon, and Anova is a function of Ratzon, therefore Anova is greater. There's two great things in the world that we're trying to get toward, Chachma and Ratzon. Yira is a function of Chachma, but Anova is a function of Ratzon. Since Ratzon is greater, Anova is greater. Now he says two very good words. V'hisbonin b'dvarim, and contemplate these matters.
Okay. He has to
sit. Yeah. All right. We'll stop here. Yeah.